You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We're coming to the end of summer here in New Zealand, and that means the end of summer music festivals. In light of this, I've compiled a report on the effectiveness of pill testing at festivals. What's the first thought that pops into your head when you think of a music festival? Is it culturally appropriate outfits, portaloos, people with hula hoops, binge drinking, or what about drugs? Music festivals are a thing, and so is taking mind-altering substances. Going to a music festival and taking mind-altering substances at the same time, definitely a thing.
And there's like loads of drum and bass, loads of lights, and then everything was just like, whoa.
Often people worry about what could be hidden in the drugs they take and how what's in them could cause adverse effects. If you read any news coming out of music festivals, especially overseas, it feels like a lot of people are dying from drug-related deaths. The common narrative surrounding deaths from drugs at festivals is that people die because they take what they think is one thing, but really it's something completely different. What happens here is that people aren't certain about what they're taking and therefore treat one substance the way they treat another, potentially causing dangerous and negative effects. So, in saying this, it seems like the obvious solution is to test the drugs to check they're legit, which a lot of festivals are starting to do across Europe and even here in New Zealand. But is it really this simple? Apparently not. Navigating the minefield of drug-related death and harm reduction is far more complicated than it seems, and a simple pill testing kit might not be the solution, as Adam is about to explain to me.
Okay, I mean, so I guess I probably need to be upfront. So particularly in a country like New Zealand, where, yeah, it's got a role.
Mm.
But it's not the be-all and end-all. And the validity, you know, there's huge differences between the different technologies that are used and their ability to actually accurately identify what's in drugs. So some are better for pills, some better for powders, you know, some won't spot mixed pills.
Adam is the founder of the Global Drug Survey, a drug harm reduction research group based in the UK. He is also an addiction medicine specialist and consultant psychiatrist.
You know, you think of the tiny number of people who are going to benefit from doing pill testing at a tent at a festival, when you think of the huge number of drugs that are kind of taken. So it's like, I guess where I am at the moment is going, you know, pill testing is a pretty expensive and resource-heavy intervention, and I don't know if it's necessarily the best bang for buck if you want to help people use drugs more safely. And particularly within New Zealand, I just don't, you know,
Yes. So, I mean, you said, like, you know, pill testing at festivals is not the be-all and end-all. What sort of alternatives are there to help people take it safer? Like, I mean, do you know what that is yet?
Yeah, but it's have an honest conversation with people. Mm. You know, if you have a regulated MDMA market tomorrow, you'd still have people who would take too much, who would mix it with loads of coke, crystal meth, drink too much, and end up in fight.
Mm.
We'd have people who would have, you know, random, unpredictable reactions. So, you know, the UK is probably quite a good example.
Adam is in Spain, so unfortunately the line cuts out a bit here. But basically what he explains to me is that in 2009 to 2010, there were no decent MDMA pills around. The number of people who died in 2010 was about 10. But over the last 5 years, there's been an escalation in the amount of MDMA in circulation, as well as an increase in the purity of the powder, often measuring up to be about 80% pure, combined with an increasingly availability of high-dose pills, which intrinsically aren't more dangerous. They just make it easier to take more. So what you've got in the UK at the moment is a market that's increasingly pure, but last year, 50 people died. So you have a bizarre situation where the more MDMA you have in circulation, and in fact, the purer it is, the more people you have dying. And surely the whole point of pill testing is to remove dangerous drugs from circulation. But actually, most people who die tend to die from pills containing MDMA. There are, of course, situations where people have pills containing cathinones and other powders like PMA. But actually, for most people, most of the time, it's MDMA. Adam explains to me that useful pill testing technology will tell you the amount of a drug you have. For example, it might tell you you have 240 milligrams of MDMA. So with that information, you might go, right, I'll just take that in quarters over the course of a day. Or you might go, 240, that's awesome, I'll take it all at once. These assumptions that if you test your drugs, it's going to influence what you do. And of course, in some cases, that might be true. In other cases, it's not. There have certainly been cases across Europe where there have been sophisticated testing kits where they found consistent problems in specific products, and therefore they were able to promote that information around the festival and get those products removed. Here's Adam again explaining a bit more about reagent tests. These are tests you'll often find being used at festivals that consist of a mixture of formaldehyde and concentrated sulfuric acid, which is dripped onto a substance being tested, and the reactive colour should in theory tell you what you have.
Lots, you know, the reagent test, the colorimetric stuff, huge problems with that. I mean, really. Hugely appealing. If something doesn't go dark, purple, violet really quickly with it, you can be reasonably confident it doesn't have MDMA in it.
Yeah.
But if it goes dark, blue, violet, it might well have it might have MDMA in it, it could have PMMA and MDMA in it, it could have opiates in it, it could be a whole range of other drugs.
Yeah.
And so, I'm not a forensic scientist, but I know quite a lot of them. We sat in a lab for a day playing with reagent tests.
Yeah.
Live. And videos. If you go on the Global Drug Survey YouTube channel, there's a bunch of like 5-10 minute videos on the basics of pill testing with reagent tests.
Mm-hmm.
But also showing what they can and cannot do. You know, if you've taken a pill and you think it was a cracking grape pill and you think, oh, I bet that was MDMA, and you get the mark, you test and it goes dark purple, it's like, yeah, it was. You probably knew that from taking it.
Mm.
The idea that a reagent test is going to protect people, I find really dangerous. And I find it really dangerous because pill testing certainly has some potential. And I don't want to see that potential got blown out the window when there is a festival that has pill testing and someone dies. And then everyone will go, well, hang on, pill testing is meant to stop that. It's like, no, the thing that, you know, the real big factor is human behaviour. And if pill testing can bring people into contact with people, have conversations around safer drug use, that's great. But it has to be more than an expensive technological lollipop, which is why I'm kind of investing my energies this year in challenging licensing more than anything else and trying to push forward that idea of just having an honest conversation. Licensing and police, let clubs and festivals talk about drugs honestly on their website and in a festival. Yeah, you know, by all means, you know, search people, try and stop drugs coming in, but everyone who works at the festival gets trained in responsible service of alcohol, they learn how to spot people under the influence of drugs, and you have club promoters and the websites going, this is how you dose with MDMA, this is how you know you're in trouble, this is what you do to look out for your mate. That, I think, it's a far easier battle that would bring about far greater gains than, you know, trying to buck and dive, you know. I mean, people who are testing at festivals, they are basically breaking the law. You know, they're in possession of an illegal drug. So it's just so hard. I just think, let people talk about drugs like they're not breaking the law.
Mm.
But, you know, how you take drugs, I think, more than anything else, is the key to using drugs more safely. There will be, clearly there will be tragic cases of, you know, people who die from taking half a pill and had MDMA in. And that's the other bit people forget, is that the relationship between MDMA dose and death is inconsistent and unpredictable. On a day in a festival where someone dies, there'll be other people who took exactly that same pill that didn't die. There'll be other people who will be floating around that festival with blood levels of MDMA way higher than the person in the festival who died. There's a whole bunch of stuff we don't know.
Yeah.
You know, which is why the general advice is less drugs, less often, don't mix, keep an eye on your mates. I mean, it's so basic.
Mm.
But how you share that information with people in a way that they can still enjoy taking drugs, I think that has a huge difference. 90% of people who turn up to A&E after doing a pill have taken other drink and drugs.
Yeah.
Saying that, about 40% of people who die from MDMA have just taken MDMA. That's rare.
Yeah, for sure.
So for everything I've said, Pearl, it's got its merit and it can do good use. It's about, but the science has got to be fit for purpose.
Yeah.
And how you share that information. People have got to understand its limitations.
I'll be honest, when I first set up this interview, I was under the impression that pill testing kits were the ultimate solution and that we were closer than ever to reducing the adverse effects of drugs taken in a festival setting. But as we've just learned, pill testing isn't perfect and there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. This is Pearl Little, reporting for BFM.
Can anyone explain why the modern day whales are so big?
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.